All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. This morning we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12. And, of course, you know, this is the King James Version. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, I have to remind everybody about that story. When I was in front of the White House back in 2017, when I had come off the 2017 tour, and I was very distraught about what I discovered in the country, because remember, at that time, you know, I was interviewing everybody and anybody who said they was a Christian, because I thought, you know, everybody was on the same page. I mean, I knew we was different denominations, but, you know, as far as Christianity, I figured, you know, we was all the same. And then I got out there on the road, you know, 36 states, 18,000 miles, and I discovered, uh-oh, there is another Jesus coming from these pulpits. My eyes were open, and I finished the tour and told the Lord, I don't want anything to do with that. And then, about a month later, I had to do that National Christian March, you know, and only 10 people showed up. And I was so disappointed because I was so happy that we had President Trump to fight for the Christians. Like, it was like a godsend, you know. And so I was up there proclaiming it from the rooftops, you know, on that stage there. And then I was up there when I was giving my speech, and I looked up, and the clouds opened. And the great cloud of witnesses come through. They look like judges. And they come through the clouds, and there was my mother with them. She had just died 9 months prior to this event. And the Lord spoke to my spirit right then. He said, "This is what you do your ministry for, is those eyes." He corrected me right there while I'm having this open vision that, you know, not to let my eyes deceive me by numbers or by opinions of others, which y'all know I've really battled this lately, but he's let me know that the eyes is where it comes from, is from them. So it says, "So great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith," amen, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Now, this is very, very important, because remember us talking about this, I think it was last week, we was talking about glorification. When Jesus had that last conversation with God, you know, right before he died, it was so amazing what he said to him. And he knew he was about to be glorified. And what does it mean to be glorified? It means you're suffering. You know, because it's destroying you and your image, yes, but it's glorifying God, because in your suffering, he shines. And so, when it says right here, endured the cross, you know, the suffering that he had to go through, despising the shame, because see, y'all know what all of us are about to go through, and God has been preparing us to be ready to suffer our faith. You know, because all these things y'all see on the global stage right now with President Trump and all of them going down, it looks like, you know, everybody's getting arrested, everybody's going to, you know, these courts, and they're all getting exposed. It's all preparing, and it's destroying the hearts of man, because it's causing them to all get offended. Remember, we talked about this last week as well, about offense. Because offense comes in and it darkens your heart. That's what our sermon was yesterday, me and Pastor, about, you know, being a light unto our feet, because offense will darken your heart. And see, that's what happened with Trump's people. they started out innocent. They wanted to believe him innocent. But every time he got offended and something would happen to him, it would enter their heart. And then it ends up darkening them, and that was the purpose from the beginning. So they've all turned into these angry birds. And now what he's doing is he is preparing them for the tribunals coming. Do y'all remember that news program where I told you about that woman that said she knew about the tribunals coming? She talked about the old ancient tribunals that they do this day on these Indian reservations. And that is what's coming to us. It'll be like a 3-day trial, and then, you know, they're going to expose you really bad, and then, you know. So anyways, we know these days are coming. And so when it says here that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, I know that a lot of us are wearing out. I know I am. Y'all know my frustrations. I've made them public, like when I got this office, you know. You would have thought I shot Kennedy or something, you know, with a couple of people. And, but anyways, that all has worked out. But the weariness of the saints right now, you know, is the enemy is wearing out the saints. And so he's encouraging us right here, you know, to remember what Jesus went through for us. You know, and then in verse 4 it says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. In other words, we have nowhere near suffered the way Jesus did. You know, we haven't suffered to where we're bleeding through our pores like he did. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Boy, do I have stories about him rebuking me. It's really a serious thing, but it's a healing thing. You know, the danger we get in is when we get to a point where we're not being corrected. This is where the pride comes in, and y'all know I've been caught in that area a few times, and that's where it gets dangerous when you're not hearing God correct you and stuff. So let's continue, and then verse 6 it says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. Isn't that funny, the word scourge? Because that's what the beast is using right now, scourging. I guess he wants to get God's kids, don't he? He wants the scourges. The scourge of society. All right, number 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with a son. I do have a story on this. When I was working for Rob Parsley up there in Columbus, Ohio, when I first started Bible college there, you know, I was the cheerleading coach because I used to be a championship coach, and so he knew it when I went up there and he hired me. He was like, I'll pay your tuition if you'll coach my cheerleaders. No, not your tuition, but your daughter's tuition. You know, she was going to the prep school, which was $4,000 a year. And so we, you know, kind of bartered, and I said, oh, yeah, you know, because I wanted her to go to school there. And so now that's a preparatory school, which means a private school for rich kids, basically. And the reason that I was a championship coach is because I was so strict. And so I was teaching this dance routine. We had a pep rally coming up that Friday. And we had one practice before at pep rally. So I taught an entire dance to do in the pep rally in this one practice. Well, this one girl gets smart and says she ain't coming to practice because she just didn't want to. And that's what she told me. I said, well, then your butt is benched at the pep rally. So anyway, so we get to the pep rally and this girl is benched. Boy, she's humiliated because I didn't know who she was. You know, I didn't care. If you're going to be outright rebellious, you're benched, you know. Well, I was out there on the gym floor and we was all warming and stretching up and stuff, getting ready for the actual pep rally. Honey, I looked up and here come Rob Parsley with his wife. I mean, looking like flames of fire were coming out of their head. They were so mad at me. And I could see it coming too, boy. I was like, oh my gosh, what have I done, you know? They come over there and his wife, I mean, in front of all them teachers, all the students in the gym. She screamed at me from the top of her lungs. She was so mad. And she said, you do not bench people in this school. This is a private school. They pay for this education. You know, and I humbly took it, right? You know, I was so embarrassed, needless to say. But I said, I was trying to tell her, well, ma'am, I benched her because I taught the dance in one practice and she missed that practice. She don't know the dance. I don't care, you know. So she blows up on me. Well, Pastor Parsley is standing behind her just letting her roll off, you know, let it rip. So I was so, you know, so embarrassed. I was like, yes, ma'am. And I just took it. I was like, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, you know, and just listen. So they go off and they go over there and sit down. They didn't fire me or nothing, but I knew I was in trouble. So the girls went out there. And they did that dance. And let me tell you something. That school had never seen anything like what I can do. We blew that school out. I mean, those girls got a standing ovation like no other. I mean, the crowd just went crazy over it. So afterwards, they came up to me and they said, we humbly ask you to forgive us. You know, and they said, we was so mad because we had not had sleep for days. We was on the plane flying back in. His sister had just died, you know, Pastor Parsley. And the pressure on them was to the roof right now. And this mama is their son. They, Pastor Parsley and his wife, they have a son that is autistic. And so they have a caretaker, this woman that watches her that's been doing it for years, watches him that's been doing it for years. It was her daughter that I did that to, which I didn't know, you know, which it don't matter to me because I've never been one to play favorites. But anyway, so they said, we just blew up on you. We took it all out on you. We're so sorry. And you know what they did? They looked at me and they said, because you took that so well and didn't buck us, we're promoting you. Yeah, that, I got a promotion from that. But anyway, I think about this scripture, though, where it says right here, if you endure the chastening, you know, like they were chastening me. They were my bosses, you know. It says God deals with you as a son. In other words, if you let God whip you, if you let God mold you and make you, for what son is he that the Father chastens not? You know, like, who are you to think that you are above being chastened, that you are above being rebuked? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, this is where people have to understand ministry, and I can't stress this enough. You cannot just step out of the world and step into ministry. It doesn't work that way. There is a process. There's been so many people over the years that come along and they'll tell me how I should do it right. You know, they know it all. They can do it better. They're smarter. They, you know, whatever. And I've just learned over the years, just tell them, you know, because they haven't been through what I've been through with the chastening and how I'm held accountable to God for everything that's done in the ministry and whatnot, and God has designed it this way. Some people don't understand it. They're not meant to understand it. It's not their destiny type of deal. So what I've got to wear now is tell them, well, go start your own channel. You know, you if you really feel like that I'm doing it wrong and you can do it better, please, by all means, you know, do it right. If you think, because here's the deal, pride rises up and they think they can do it better, and then they go out there and now they're on the front lines with the enemy, and some of them get knocked right out because it's not a funny thing, you know, when you're presenting the Word of God and stuff like that to people, you know, the assaults come left and right, but they'll learn. But see, the chastening begins when you accept the Lord's calling. You know, he begins, like I told y'all back in 2013 when mine first began, when I surrendered to the call in full time, that whole entire summer was his rebuking me. Everybody thought I was crazy. Because I'd say, man, I am having to ask God to forgive me of this. I mean, he just kept bringing everything up to the surface, you know. And he would have me deal with it. Or he would have me go to people and deal with it. And, you know, but it's a process. You know, he's not going to put you out there straight out of, you know, Compton or whatever. You're going to have to go through a process. Because it says here that they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but for he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of what? His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. In other words, it's going to be hard, but grievous nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness in them that which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down in feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. All right, so I'm going to stop there. And I hope that really encouraged you this morning, that if you're in the process right now and God is chastening you, you know, just know it's a good thing because he's obviously preparing you for something. You know, and he's dealing with your heart. And one thing that we all have to be ready for is that with this moment of martyrdom coming, you know, sometime in the future, we're going to have to not be offended to where we fail the test. You know, that's like our ultimate glorification. Whenever our time comes, you know, type of deal. And with the Noahides right now, you know, coming forward and taking over every industry, in case you haven't noticed that, on news broadcasters and everywhere, you know, even the Republican Party, especially because of Trump's America First platform, they're lining up every mountain, you know, like NARA, the Seven Mountain Mandate. They're lining up every mountain with their people. And we just have to be willing to say, Lord, help me to be glorified, that you be glorified through me through that process, you know. All right, so let's pray, and then I'll stop the recording. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word this morning that talks about, you know, us walking in holiness, Lord. And the holiness comes through you chastening us and you correcting and chastising us, Lord. So I pray that we continue to have the heart, Lord, to want to change and to want to be what you have called us to be, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now I'm going to turn the recording off and then I'm going to open up the prayer lines. Hold on.